Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing ridiculous credit card interest rates. And our city's dead?
Ooh, our city's dead. That's kind of a controversial question, Joel.
Is COVID basically like Godzilla for big cities?
Well, some would say so, right? A lot of headlines are saying that COVID-19, the pandemic, this is bringing an end to city life as we know it. But you and I, man, I think we feel a little bit differently about it.
I love arguing with you. Let's do that later.
No, you and I are on the same page.
We're arguing
with the headlines.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right.
That being said, we actually aren't in the city currently. It's July 3rd right now, the day that this comes out. But we actually recorded this one a little ahead of time this week. Your family and our family, we've been at the beach.
Yeah, and I can't say I've enjoyed the beach because literally recording this the day before we leave. I think we're going to enjoy the beach.
I'm pretty sure we're going to have a great time.
I think so.
If we don't, though, on next Friday's episode, we can make sure to update everybody.
Yeah, we'll let people know. If the beach was terrible, we'll tell them. We'll give them the scoop. But yeah, it's always good to get away. I'm looking forward to that. And for everybody out there listening, happy 4th of July. I hope you have an excellent... People have today off typically, and hopefully you have a good weekend planned with the people you love the most. If you're hanging out with those people currently... obviously, people are handling things differently right now. So people aren't getting together with family members, and I know that's tough. But hopefully you can at least FaceTime and have a hamburger or something while you're doing it.
Yeah, hopefully you're able to celebrate a little bit. You know, maybe there's a family in your neighborhood, some close friends that you've sort of quarantined together with. I mean, that's you and me. You know, we've continued to make this podcast and we've been recording in person. Our families have basically clustered together. We've got our little bubble. Both of our families are making sure that we're still taking these precautions because as we've seen recently, COVID-19, man, it's sticking around. It's not leaving us anytime soon.
Yeah, it's tough to see the spike in cases and hopefully it's a good reminder for all of us that we actually need to continue to take the precautions. Like wearing masks, like social distancing. But now, Matt, let's get to the Friday flight. It's our
Friday flight.
Yeah, it's a quick sampling of stories we found interesting this week. And first up, something I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of is to not forget to put money in your IRA for 2019, right? You've only got until mid-July to do this. Tax day, obviously, typically April 15th. But this year, that's changed because of the pandemic, of course. And the filing deadline is now July 15th. So don't forget to file your taxes. And also don't forget to contribute money for an IRA if you haven't done that for last year. And since those annual contributions are use it or lose it, we suggest obviously putting in as much as you can. You can put $6,000 in if you're a baller, right? If you want to max it out. And $7,000 in if you're a baller who happens to be 50 years or older.
The 50 plus ballers out there.
You get an extra $1,000 to work with.
That's right. And don't forget as well, spousal Roth IRAs, right? If you have a spouse who doesn't work out of the home, they can have a Roth as well that you contribute to. So you can take it from $6,000 to $12,000.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of our listeners were also fortunate enough to maybe max out those 2019 Roth contributions, maybe even a few months ago when the market was down a little bit.
That'd been the way to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Would have been good timing.
Yeah. So something else, let's talk about interest rates. They have fallen a good bit. We've seen all sorts of interest rates falling from mortgages to car loans to the rate that you earn within your high interest savings account.
Yeah, mortgage rates for 30-year mortgages, under 3% are people are getting quoted now, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. They're really close to being at all-time lows right now. But interest rates are not down for credit cards, man. Credit card interest rates are a little unique, and unfortunately, for some spenders, they remain sky high. We are, of course, fans of credit cards, but only if you pay them in full every single month. Don't let your money go towards the estimated $100 billion in profit that banks make from late fees and customers paying interest.
Dang, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, but if you do pay off your balance every single month, then it doesn't matter what the interest rate is on that card, right? But if you are someone who is carrying a balance, it's more important than ever to consider a balance transfer or to see if your local credit union offers a card with a much lower APR. And we have a good article up on the website that explains how balance transfer cards work and what some of the better options are that are out there for folks. And we'll make sure that we link to that article in our show notes.
Yeah, and we'd love to see consumer organizations lobbying for reduced rates on credit cards because it's just not right that interest rates on credit cards remain sky high as interest rates everywhere else are falling around us. And sometimes it takes applying pressure on the big banks to actually see some change happen. Particularly in the face of the pandemic, everyday Americans could really use some relief on those credit card bills. They could use a lower interest rate. But if you're in credit card debt, remember that That's one thing that you can ask your bank. You can do this on your own. Make sure your credit score is in good shape before you call. That's something that's helpful if you actually want to get a reduced rate. And then call your credit card company and ask if they're willing to lower your rate for you. It's important to do your research, know what other rates you could potentially get through another bank or another credit card provider. That will help you make your case. And if you're in enough debt that it's overwhelming, it's really important for you to go see a nonprofit credit counselor through the NFCC or through Money Management International. Basically, it's something important to be aware of, but it's also important to know that you do have some control over this area, and you can open a new credit card, Matt, like you mentioned, or lobby for a reduced interest rate for yourself on your current credit card.
Yeah, that's right. And we've talked a lot about the NFCC, but less about Money Management International. And that's the company that Thomas works for. And we talked to him back in episode 199 about finding credit relief. So if you haven't listened to that episode and this kind of sounds like you, this is the position you're in, we would recommend for you to go back and listen to that one, episode 199. And Joel, we know that federal unemployment assistance, that is going to be ending soon. That additional $600 that you should be receiving if you've been laid off from your job, that is set to finish at the end of July. And so if you are currently unemployed, that is something to be aware of. Depending on the state that you live in, that means that your monthly take-home is going to be cut by quite a bit. State unemployment benefits are typically pretty meager. And there's reason why this increased assistance has been short-lived, because government officials, they are hoping that a hiring spree will occur, like we've never seen before. But that remains to be seen, because we've seen some states slow their reopening, right? Like they're halting the different phases of reopening the state and the different businesses. So it's tough to know whether that's actually going to pan out.
Yeah, I'm hoping that what they're hoping for comes to pass, right? I want to see increased rehiring. I want to see job openings all over the place and see people being able to find good work. And Matt, we were just talking about filing taxes. It's important to remember that the unemployment benefits that people are currently receiving, if they are on unemployment, they're taxable, right? So that means that you will owe on any unemployment checks that you've received from your state or the federal government. Hopefully you filled out the form or opted in for your state to automatically withhold those taxes, so you won't have to worry about it later on. But if you didn't, you need to make sure you start planning to pay those taxes once they're due next year. So holding on to some of that money in a savings account, getting prepared to owe taxes when you do file next year, it's important. We just don't want you to get caught off guard.
Oh yeah, good point, man. And back to jobs. Obviously, we've seen the stock market pick right back up where it left off for the most part, right? But Main Street America, we're not seeing that same resilience or that optimism. And when that pandemic unemployment assistance, that PUA, when that ends, and many of the jobs still aren't back, that's what I'm worried about. I'm thinking about food banks in particular. They're seeing an increased demand and food insecurity. It's swelling across the country. Man, I'm concerned that as some of these federal programs fall away, like the increased unemployment that we just talked about, that we'll see food banks that have an increasingly difficult time helping provide food for those in need.
Yeah, we're already kind of starting to see stories like that trickle in, Matt, of just food banks seeing just a massively increased demand. And so, yeah, anything that you can do in your community, if you are in a good spot, to donate extra to the food banks to support those efforts, then that would be something we would encourage you to do. So much of the best response, I think, that we can do as individuals is hyper-local in our community to help people that we know, and then also to help local organizations like local food banks who are in particular needs right now. And Matt, one more thing I want to say about the unemployment benefits that are supposed to be ending soon. There has been talk of a back-to-work bonus, but there really aren't any details or specifics yet, so it's important not to count those chickens before they hatch. There's also been talk, which we mentioned a few weeks back, of a potential direct payment, a second direct payment to individuals and families. But that also is vaporware at this point. We don't know if something like that is actually going to happen, if a bill is going to pass. But if you have been collecting unemployment and haven't been able to land a job yet, now is a really important time to be applying, to be looking for jobs. Matt, probably a month ago, we talked about the vertical job sites. That's another important thing, another important component when it comes to applying for work. Looking not just to the big job sites, although those can be helpful, but looking to job sites that specialize in your industry, and in particular, applying there. Oftentimes you get hired more quickly through the vertical job sites as opposed to the ones that just post every single job ever, right? And also with the average state unemployment being in the $400 range, it'll be a rude awakening when the PUA ends, Matt, and people go from making roughly $1,100 a week to less than $500 a week. That's just really hard to get by on. So more than anything, we just want to lend that perspective, remind people that this is what's happening, and to be prepared for it as best as you can when it comes to saving some of that additional money that you're bringing in right now, and also just really getting after it in the job hunt, even though it's tough out there.
So if that's you, we really do wish you the best of luck. All right. So Joel, right at the beginning of the episode, we teased a little bit about moving away from the cities, and we're going to talk about that right after the break.
All right, Matt, we're back, and it's time to talk about cities. Are people actually fleeing cities in massive numbers? There have been a lot of headlines around this topic. A lot of people have different thoughts, and some people have predicted the demise of the city, that COVID is basically ruining some of the bigger cities, in particular like New York, and that the suburbs are going to be hot, and maybe the countryside too. But then also Bloomberg recently had an article that was titled, "This is not the end of cities." And there was a quote, Matt, that I wanted to share from Nobel-winning economist Paul Romer. He said, "The underlying economic reality is that there is tremendous economic value in interacting with people and sharing ideas. There's still a lot to be gained from interaction in close physical proximity. For the rest of my life, cities are going to continue to be where the action is." End quote. So who's right, right? Well, I kind of actually tend to agree with Mr. Romer personally, but let's go beyond just our opinion and talk about all the predictions we're seeing floating around, Matt. I mean, what's your take? What are your thoughts when you're seeing these headlines floating around? I mean, you and I, we live in a city. Granted, it has a little more space than a city like New York. We're not living on top of each other. We have a little bit of a yard. But do you think that the predictions about the death of cities are premature, or are they on the mark?
Yeah, man, I would agree with you, and I would agree with Paul Romer. There's a lot of value to be had in cities, and this is something that Kate and I, that we came to on our own as well, like, gosh, 2 years ago now. Before we started renovating our home, we thought long and hard about if it made sense for us to remain in the city, because our work didn't necessarily require us to be in the city. It required us to be in the city sometimes, but it also meant that there was a lot of time that we did not need to be on location somewhere, right? And so, yeah, before we actually renovated our house, we spent a weekend driving around, not just the suburbs, but kind of like out in the country around Atlanta, like an hour, hour and a half outside the city, driving around, stopping in these little towns, you know, finding little neighborhoods and streets where we thought we could see ourselves living as a family. We wanted to challenge the notion that we had that, like, that you have to be in the city in order to work and in order to be successful, in order to feel that you have community. And we wanted to prove it to ourselves by seeing what was out there. But as you know, by the fact that we're still here in Atlanta, we felt that there was still so much value that the city had. Even though we love wide open spaces, we love going hiking, we love having gardens and spending lots of our time outside, out in nature, we couldn't really see ourselves living out there in some really small town where there's really not much going on. And granted, this was way before the pandemic, but our opinion, it still holds. But you know, there always are going to be these unforeseen consequences when it comes to something as large as this pandemic, right? Ben Carlson, who is a financial writer who we like to keep up with, he recently wrote an article about what he calls the air conditioning effect. First of all, let's dive into some history. In-home air conditioning, it was a purely accidental invention by a guy named William Carrier. And you've heard of Carrier air conditioning units, but he was just trying to keep his ink from smearing. And it turns out he invented something that was way more powerful than he had imagined. Essentially, his invention of air conditioning stopped the migration from the south to the north that was occurring at the time. The Sun Belt, it has seen a much larger influx of residents since 1940, and much of that is due to the ability to hop out of the heat and indoors where you can cool off. And so nobody would have been able to predict that his invention would have literally shaped the country as we know it today, but it has.
Yeah, air conditioning obviously has made the South habitable, whereas for a lot of years, it was just a mess. Yeah. Living here in the summer, that's for sure. A sweaty mess. But yeah, so Matt, when it comes to the trends of are cities dead or is work from home, is that going to be the new normal for everyone forever? Well, maybe that work from home trend could continue to rise, of course. And cities might see prolonged disturbance and people moving out continually because of what's happened with COVID. But people also might be itching to get back in the office in a few months when COVID is hopefully infecting far fewer people, or when we have widely available treatment, right? Will young people start moving into the suburbs because of this? That's possible. Or the country, maybe. But experts don't agree on this either. Will air travel ever be the same? No one really knows yet. COVID will, of course, have long-lasting implications, but it's impossible to know what they will be or to know the depth of the impact that they're actually going to have. And so it's always interesting to me to like read both sides of why people think that either cities are no longer going to be relevant or why cities will continue to have relevance. But I also take each opinion with a little bit of a grain of salt because it is really hard to predict those things and we don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And you know, change, it moves slowly as well, right? Like headlines, they tout how like this is is going to change everything. But like, is it really? Like, it's really difficult to change an entire country and its culture on a dime. And, you know, there's a reason that cities are popular. They're cultural and business epicenters. You know, moving to the country, that might sound really nice to me right now, or at a period before we were looking to renovate our home. But, you know, will it still sound like the right move a year from now to that same individual? You know, again, this is hard to predict, but, you know, take the predictions you are seeing with a grain of salt. You know, when we talk about that too with investing, you know, how turning off market updates and, you know, the talking heads who are predicting what will happen tomorrow, you know, or 3 months from now, by tuning out that noise, that will allow us to be able to stay focused. And so try to do the same with, you know, these different COVID predictions that we're seeing run rampant right now.
Yeah, but perhaps you are one of those people who definitely wants to change. Like, you live in San Francisco or New York and you're like,
and you hate it.
I got to get out of here. And maybe you should have gone out years ago because it's so expensive. But if now, the COVID times, if it's making you rethink your living situation, perhaps from the city to the burbs or a more rural area, well, then it is a good time to consider it. And that's because so many more companies are allowing work from home. Companies like Facebook and Twitter allowing employees to work from home permanently, right? And it'll be interesting to see, Matt, if that continues to happen. I know more and more people, more and more friends who are having this ability where they basically won't have to go into the office. And if they do, it's once a quarter and they can fly in for the meeting, whatever it is. But I do like the ability for a lot more people to essentially be able to choose where they live because their work doesn't require them to live anywhere in particular. But then again, if the suburbs really end up being as hot as the headlines say they're going to be, you might be better off staying put in the city. You might see rent prices decline, right? Who knows? Again, we're not really predicting the future. We don't feel like we have any special insight. All I know is that the trend towards moving into cities has been happening for almost a century. And I think cities are going to continue to have just a massive amount of relevance. Although what cities look like and what it looks like for us to work in and get around and play in cities is definitely going to look different in the aftermath of COVID.
Right. Yeah. Certainly we're going to see changes, specific changes in our lives. But I think when folks are too focused on the market or, you know, these different cultural changes or how work is going to look differently, I think that if we're swayed by these constant different predictions, we're kind of rudderless, kind of floating out there in the sea. And oftentimes we do need to focus on what it is that we want our lives to look like. We need to look to our own personal goals. And I think it's more important than ever for that to be the guide that helps us to decide where we're going to live, the type of work that we're going to do, while at the same time putting less emphasis on those headlines.
Yeah, Matt. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. That was a fun little conversation about the future of cities.
Yeah, well, you know, have Kate and I actually shared with you and Emily that we were going to try to convince y'all to move with us?
Hey, man, I'm not leaving here. You guys can go, but...
Like, literally, as we're looking at different cities, we're like, okay, the biggest problem is that we don't have any friends here, but if our best friends moved with us, I think it could make it worthwhile.
You know, I've thought, like, you know, Mr. Money Mustache, who writes a lot about money, he has talked about creating, like, a little utopian... city of people who are financially responsible.
Okay, we started thinking down that direction a little bit, and we thought, I think we could see ourselves being happy out here, convince a few others to move out there, you know, and obviously befriend folks who are already there in that community, right? We're not trying to like transplant our life from the city out there to the country, but to also engage with a current town that's thriving.
Yeah, but that'd be the hardest thing for me about moving is leaving all my friends behind.
Yeah.
So many good people in our neighborhood.
Exactly.
But yeah, the future of cities is going to be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, we currently live in Atlanta, hope to live in Atlanta a long time. I think the future for this city is definitely bright.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. So that's going to be it this time for real. You can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and if you haven't yet joined our Facebook group, go join it. There are so many people helping each other out. It's a wonderful place to be. If you have money questions, obviously you can submit them for a future Ask How to Money episode on our website also. But if you want to join a group of fellow money nerds who are constantly helping each other out, then definitely make sure to join that group. Just search How to Money in the search bar. All right, buddy. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.